We are almost done looking at Moodle, and we just got these 3 weeks to crank through. We should be fine. So, quick review. I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit. I guess I'll just kind of get some nuts and bolts out of the way. I thought everything on Perusall looked fine. I'm really, really pleased with the engagement. You guys are doing a fantastic job. So it's probably one of the best classes I've had as far as engagement with the text. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that is driving me to want to say a whole lot about what you're doing. I think you're on the right page. I might come back around to that before we dismiss here. But on the gratitude assignment, again, everyone did well. The tricks, because we're going to switch exercises here in the next couple of weeks, but I know it seems weird to say you have to write "I am grateful for," and I know it seems weird to kind of do it handwritten. I don't always do it handwritten, if I'm being very honest, but there's an actual point, and it is what it does to your brain wiring and brain chemistry, right? When you're actually having to force yourself to write "I am grateful for," you are either wiring or rewiring some neural pathways, and actually the handwriting is doing the same thing. So that's why we're so particular about that. Is it seems like a nitpicky kind of thing, but it really is what it's doing to your brain. And so that's really the important piece. I would add, on all of these exercises, you are more than welcome to keep doing them. I've been doing iterations of these three sorts of exercises. Again, we're going to start a new one this coming week, but I don't know, for a decade now, they help. So just keep giving it a shot, kind of build it into your daily routine, particularly morning routine, as far as gratitude goes. Now the bulk of the stuff, because it kind of seems a little odd. If we come out of failure and adversity and some things that don't work the way we want them to work, it seems like the best way to approach it is to think about, then who am I really, right? And so when I ask these questions about the mission, vision, and value statement of the university, I'm seriously not trying to pull a gotcha in terms of, oh, you agree, oh, you disagree, who did this, who did what. And in one case, I do know one of you has had a really negative experience, and it bothers me. And unfortunately, I know what that is, because I think I've heard something similar, just even on campus, so not even in the assignment. And so that's a reality that will have to be addressed. But in terms of personally and why I like what we have in the university is it's written correctly on the website, right? The mission is who you are, your vision is where you want to be, and your values are how you get there. And those are the most critical elements. In terms of your mission statement, a few of you kind of wanted some ideas on how to craft that. And we're going to have an exercise coming up that's going to help. But a lot of times what happens, and again, I actually have to journal this sort of thing. I have to write about it a few times. But a simple place to start is like, what are all the roles that you have in life? In my case, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I teach, I play golf and guitar. I mean, I just do a lot of weird. I have German shepherds, and German shepherds, like, that becomes interesting as we work on training. I train them. And part of how I raised my girls was trying to teach them how to think through problems and answer their own questions in life. And gosh, I'm a teacher. That seems to fit. It just seems like, man, I keep doing the same thing. And all of the roles that I play, I end up doing the same kind of thing, right? So for all the roles I have, and when I establish my goals, right, I want my girls to do well in life on their own without me. I want a well-behaved dog, especially when he is like 65 pounds of muscle and teeth. It's got to be a good dog, right? Then when I teach, I want to sort of commit to the students around me and, you know, make sure they're successful. And oftentimes I'm happier when they surpass what I've done. So when I've had students who go on to graduate school and write me back and say thank you, there's a point like, okay, I get it. I know what I'm here for. And sometimes I even add the layer. I did this with a student in my office just a couple of weeks ago. If you've never watched Brewster's Millions with Richard Pryor from the 80s, fantastic movie. But also play the game with yourself. You know, go look and see what the Powerball is and how much that is. And cut that in half if you want taxes and say, I take this home. What do I do with it? You will find, as I have found, I can't spend it. Like, after I pay what I owe and buy all the toys I want, it's an obscene amount of money. And then you realize, at my core, I would still do something with teaching and training with that money. And you start to realize, okay, this is who I am. So I need to start thinking about how I build my life around that. And that becomes the vision, right? In the vision, I'll add a piece I've shared. I've done some coaching with a executive director of a local nonprofit ministry, and their written mission statement is fine as is. I'm on the board. I think it's great. I support their vision, but in conversations that she and I have, she keeps saying the same thing. I think this ministry is for every kid in the 259 school district. And I finally had to stop her and say, you know, that's your real vision, right? That's the one you're really committed to. And it's okay. It's not contradicting what you've written. In fact, in some ways, I like this one better because it's more motivating, right? The vision, if you've got a really big vision, you may not actually live long enough to see it to fruition. I mean, that's how organizations really work. And sometimes that's the kind of legacy you want to leave behind. And when I told her this, it's a Christian nonprofit, and it wasn't a joke, but just as an example, I said, you know, Jesus had a vision to like go baptize all nations. I'm pretty sure we've been doing that for like 2,000 years, right? He left, he came back, and he left again, and we're still doing, like, that's a powerful vision. And that's part of what you need to look for in your own vision statement. I didn't go into detail with these as I did the mission statements, but the vision's what gives you energy. So you need something that powerful to give you the energy to do the things you need to do. The values, they're how you do things. You kind of have to know what's your line in the sand. What is the thing you will or will not do? Because you will run into the question or the problem that you do not believe you can answer. It's not written down. It's not in a handbook. It's not in a textbook. So you really have to know, how do you prioritize the things in your life and the decisions that you make? It will come up. I can tell you that with 100% certainty. So again, you guys are doing a fantastic job. Don't change anything. I don't think in the Prusall readings there was any issue. I mean, I noticed a couple of very good questions about what this means, some of this text meant for people who are believers and people who are non-believers, you know, and that gets into some deep sort of theological salvation sorts of terminology, and you know, we can leave that for theologians. But just remember, in some cases, for people who might be atheists, it doesn't mean they don't have a vision or a compelling vision, and it doesn't mean they necessarily have bad values. They just don't resonate maybe with yours, but they're probably actually not contradictory. And I only say that because I have my best friend from college is an atheist, and he and I talk pretty regularly. He knows my position, I know his position, but it's really bizarre how in a lot of ways our values are very similar. Our visions are slightly askew, but not like radically opposed. So, you know, sometimes when we look at things like that, it's a matter of like, okay, let's be gracious and kind of figure out where we are in agreement on things. So looking forward is the difficult assignment of the eulogy. It's not to be depressing, so don't take this the wrong way, but it does force that issue to make you think through what are all the roles you serve and what are the goals you have for people. And if you weren't here, what would they say? So that assignment isn't supposed to be depressing or weird, but it is supposed to kind of push you in that sense of concretizing your mission and your vision. That's what that does. So, yeah, I don't really like things over Thanksgiving, but it's the only way we can kind of fit everything in the schedule. So I apologize. I hope you find it a relatively light and easy week. Thank you.